text, Ephesians 6:10-18, written by the Apostle Paul. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. What a powerful passage of Scripture. I reminded you that Paul is giving us here another way to look at the believer's life in Christ. The believer's life is a battlefield. Anybody been on it? Immediately upon receiving Christ, the believer finds himself in a constant struggle. He is engaged in an unceasing fight, an unending war. He is a combatant, a soldier in conflict. His calling is not to live a life totally of enjoyment and ease, but to live a life of hard conflict, fighting the devil. There are foes. Some of them are within, some of them are without. From the cradle to the grave, there is a constant struggle against the corruptible lust of the flesh. How many have ever had to deal with your flesh? I want to do this. I want to do that. Hello? We all struggle with the temptations of life. But I want you to know that there is victory. That's why I'm preaching to you this sermon, Dress for Battle. Part one, it's about warfare. And that Sunday we stood, we had you to stand and take the charge. The soldier's charge for battle. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We recognize this battle is not about our strength. It's not about our abilities. It's about His strength, His power, and His ability. Amen? So there is a charge you must take as a soldier of the cross. Amen. Be strong. I charge you to be strong in the Lord and be strong in the power of His might. Not ours, but His. Now this morning, I would like to continue that message by talking to you about who your enemy is. If you have an enemy, you have to know who he is before you can fight him. You have to know who it is you're up against. And I know there's an awful lot of mockery. There's an awful lot of joking about a fella running around with a red suit on and horns and a big long tail and a pitchfork in his hand. That's not the enemy that the Bible describes here. Oh, yeah, that guy's not too nice looking. He's not too good looking. I want you to know the enemy that we're talking about, that we are fighting, is a beautiful creature. He is an intelligent being. He knows an awful lot. Notice that the Apostle Paul says here, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against what? The wiles of the devil. Paul is identifying who it is. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Now sometimes you might try my patience. Sometimes you may say things that cross my temper. But I'm not wrestling against you. I'm wrestling against something else. The devil. But we are wrestling, Paul says, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. The devil, Diablos, slander, one of the principal titles of Satan, the arch enemy of God and man. How did he come into being? Apparently God first peopled the universe, or at least our part of it, with a hierarchy of holy angels. They lived here on the earth. They went to and fro. They are from the highest orders of the cherubim. One of those angels, perhaps the highest of all, perhaps the anointed cherub who covered, was created beautiful and in perfect ways, in all of his ways. This cherub knew that he was beautiful. This required on his part an intelligence. But the problem with this cherub was pride entered his heart. And the first sin in the whole history of eternity occurred in the heart of this beautiful angel that God had created. Pride came in, which led to self-will, and self-will led to rebellion. God then created man in his own image. We have the story in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Created man in his own image, after his own likeness. And because Satan already hated God, he hated what God created. He hated God's man, who he had made in his own image, and whom God loved dearly, and has endeavored to get back at God through trying to destroy the love of God's heart, you and I, mankind. You see, before we were here on this earth, this beautiful creature, Lucifer, who was head of this earth over the pre-Adamite race, which he led to destruction. He went up into the heavens and approached God to overthrow God and say, I'm going to kick God off of his seat of authority. And when he did, God threw him out of heaven back into the earth. The earth became void and dark and without form. And so it was total chaos. The pre-Adamite race was obliterated because of the judgment against Lucifer, whom he had led into rebellion. And so ever since Lucifer experienced this rebellion against God and this casting out into the earth, he has been hating God. And in the rebellion, he wants to destroy anything that is close to God. The Bible teaches us, the apostle wrote to us and said, we need to be on our guard because this adversary, the devil, Lucifer, who was kicked out of heaven, who has a mission to overcome God, this Lucifer has come as a personal enemy, not only to God, but to you and I. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. How many's ever seen a lion? Some of you. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about when I talk about a lion. Let me tell you what. I was on a bus one time. We were riding through a little safari, you know, one of these places they take you in a bus and go along. Pride of lions laying alongside the road. And I said to the bus driver, boy, they look peaceful. Looks like you ought to be able to get out and pet them. He said, I'll open the door, you get out. He was reminding me that as soon as there's meat, there's ferociousness. I watched one time at a zoo when a zookeeper flipped a big steak into a lion den. And let me tell you, that old boy pounced. And I wouldn't have wanted to have been there. His big teeth ripped into that meat and tore it asunder. And the apostle said, your adversary, the devil, the one that we are fighting, the one that we need to be aware of, the one we need to be sober and vigilant about, is going about as this lion to devour you. Let me tell you, honey, I don't care how much powder and paint you put on. I don't care how frilly the dress is. He's out to get you. Amen. He's out to get you. Oh, yes, gentlemen. I don't care how big the biceps are. I don't care how mean you look. I don't care the way you swagger as if, buddy, I own the world. This old boy is out to pounce on you. He's out to devour you. He won't be satisfied till every bone is stripped and every piece of meat in your body and your soul is devoured by him. Yes. This is business. He's on the prowl. He's your adversary. He's stalking you. We're like a roaring, hungry, agitated lion. He is bent on your destruction, just like a lion rips its prey apart. Have you ever watched one of these Discovery Channels and they have you on watching these lions and a little deer or a zebra is running for its life and a lion is after it and finally it reaches its prey and it pounces on the back and it sinks its teeth into the jugular veins and you watch that creature die and then the pride comes and they literally tear apart the carcass. What the apostle is saying, your adversary, the devil, that's who he is. And that's what he wants to do with you. I'm telling you, I've seen some of the carcasses that he's left by the wayside. I've seen the alcoholic whose life is destroyed because he was devoured. I've seen the drug addict. Just read before I left here that 19-year-old vivacious young lady from Clear Spring who was overwhelmed with drug addiction and she couldn't seem to overcome it, and finally she died. She's been devoured. Her life was cut short. Her future was devoured and torn asunder. She is no more. She is in eternity because of the devouring lion, the devil. And if he can get you wrapped up in lust, if he can get you wrapped up in the things of this world, if he can get you wrapped up in the deviousness of darkness and evil, he'll do the same thing. And when he walks away from you, he'll be licking your blood from his lips as he roars a victorious roar in the face of Jehovah God. That's who we're facing. Paul says principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness. Our enemy is not human. He is not flesh. He is not flesh and blood, but he is spiritual. Who seek to receive the loyalty and devotion that is due to God Himself. You see, that's what He wants. You go by the tavern on security, and you'll see, even in the morning, you'll see cars already parked there. In the evening, they'll come straight from work. Instead of going home to the family, they go by the tavern, and what do? They sit there at the bar, worshiping their god, the devil, seeking the pleasure. The drug buyers and the drug sellers on the streets of Hagerstown, every time they make a sale, they're worshiping their god, the devil. Every time an individual buys pornography from behind the counter, well, they don't put it behind the counter anymore, do they? Every time a woman or a man sits down to indulge in the lustfulness of the flesh, they are worshiping their god, the devil. They are bowing to his wishes. They are bowing to his pleasure. I had a retired teacher on my trip, and almost every other word out of his mouth was foul. And one day he was sitting by me at the table, and he used God's name to damn something. And I said to him, I said, Tucker, it's a very serious business when you ask God to pronounce judgment and damnation on something or somebody. You're in dangerous territory when you're asking God to do that. He looked at me, and first time he'd ever heard that. That what he was saying was requesting God to bring judgment or damnation on somebody or something. We are worshiping the adversary of God Almighty when we yield to the things that are contrary to the Lord. Therefore, they are after the spirit of a man. This enemy, these principalities, these powers, these rulers of darkness, they are after the spirit of man, that part of man that is destined to worship and serve God and divert that worship. He wants to divert it to himself, Satan, Lucifer. He is crying out, worship me instead of Jehovah. They are the spiritual forces of wickedness. determined to destroy the soul of man for eternity. Here's just some of their work. Division, war, arrogance, prejudice, killing, stealing, favoritism, arguing, lying, anger, selfishness, cursing, hate, immorality, bitterness, pride, and the list could go on and on and on. Has the devil ever gotten you to worship him instead of worshiping Jehovah God or Jesus Christ? In that minute of hatred, in that minute of anger, in that minute of malice, in that minute of backbiting, in that minute of the gossiping, in that minute when you do that which is contrary to God, you are bowing to Satan, and he is gleeful because he has gotten you to turn away from God. Evil forces are powerful forces with superhuman power. Evil forces have unprecedented superhuman abilities. Not supernatural, but superhuman. I want you to recognize that this devil, Lucifer, he is not like God. He is not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. He is not omnipresent. So if you're telling me that the devil was at your house Monday night, and somebody else tells me that the devil was at their house Monday night, can't be. He can only be in one place at one time. God is omnipotent. God is omnipresent. God is everywhere at the same time. But the angels of Lucifer, the demons, the principalities, the powers, and the rulers of darkness, they are everywhere. That's that third of the angels that rebelled with Lucifer and kicked out of heaven with him. They are the ones who go about under the authority of Lucifer to tempt and test and try you, to destroy you. And they have superhuman power. You, within your own abilities and within your own powers, cannot compete with them. You have to have somebody bigger than you, somebody stronger than you, somebody who has authority over them, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. These evil forces are numerous. Paul's description of them convey the idea of a large number of evil forces struggling against believers. They're all over the world. They travel everywhere. These evil forces are the rulers of the darkness of this world. Biblical darkness is descriptive of everything opposite of the light of Christ. Everything that is opposed to the truth. Everything which Christ does not embody. Everything that is a lie, that is evil. Everything that blinds the minds of men, lest they believe the glorious gospel of eternal salvation. Amen? This darkness that they rule over. Things like we have been seeing in the decapitation of human beings. That's not of God. That's darkness. The darkness of men in the nights to do the devious things they do to the pedophile that will devour the child. The prostitute who gives her body away for sale. The despicable things of the world. The hatred, the malice, the contempt that arises in the hearts and souls of men. That's the darkness they rule over. We need to stay in the light. We're identifying the enemy and what he's like. These evil forces of wickedness are in the lower atmosphere, who constitute his kingdom in the air. Bible says that Lucifer is the prince and the power of the air. So when I get on an airplane and I go to 33, 34,000 feet, we're getting close to his domain. Not if the pilot is a Christian, huh? We're all right then, yeah. I hope the pilots on the planes where I was, we traveled about 8,000 miles round trip, and that's a long time in the air, and there were times when it was shaking like this, and up and down like this, and I was inside saying, woo-wee! And I saw others holding on. His domain! You remember when God sent Michael to deliver a message to Daniel? And it took a long time for Michael to get through with his message. And when he finally got to Daniel, he explained. He said, I was detained by the prince of Babylon. I was detained by the principalities of the air. I had a battle. I had to fight my way through. Every time your angel comes to you and speaks to you, comforts you, remember he might have had a tough time getting to you because he had to come through the forces of darkness and the powers of evil. And so that constitutes his kingdom, and they're coming and going all the time around the world. This enemy, this is the enemy we wrestle against. Now this word wrestle is very descriptive. Mr. Weiss, an authority on the Greek language, gives us a very descriptive picture of the believer's struggle, spiritual struggle. This word wrestle is an athletic term. It's a Greek term, and it's an athletic term. And Thayer defines it as follows. He said it's a contest between two in which each endeavor to throw the other. Come on, Brother Sherman, come up here. I thought you messed with me. Describing in this situation of wrestling is that the victor has to hold him down by the throat and hold him prostrate, hold him down with his hand upon his neck. Then he is considered to be the loser. I want you to see the depth of this loss. Once the opponent, the antagonist, is taken down and he's held down and he is declared to be the loser, then they put his eyes out. And he will be forever blind. So this wrestling match that you are having with the devil, this is not just for fun. This is about business. The adversary, your devil, goes about wanting to wrestle you. Paul says, we wrestle him. You are in that stance with the devil. One of you is trying to get the best of the other one. And the devil is no pushover. He has superhuman power, remember? He is no pushover. You better have the power and the authority of Jesus Christ within you when you're messing with him. Because the picture is, if the devil gets you down, he's going to put your eyes out. He's going to take out your lights. You will never be able to rise again in the same way that you were before. So let's get this clear. This is about getting down to business. Young people, I remind you, you can't play with sin. You can't play with the devil. You can't play with the things of the world. As saints, you can't play with hatred. You can't play with anger. You can't play with temper. You can't play with malice. You can't play with the things of this world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Because if you lose the battle, you lose your eyesight. The truth about our enemy. F.F. Bruce describes it well. Satan and his demonic forces rank among the highest angelic princes in the hierarchy of the heavenly places. Yet all of them, remember that Lucifer and all of his cohorts owe their existence to Jesus Christ. They would not exist if it weren't for Christ creating them. Who is, according to the head of all principality and power? Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah! Some, at least, of the principalities and powers have embarked upon rebellion against God, not only to seek men to pay them the worship that is due to Christ, but they've launched an assault upon the crucified Christ at a time when they thought they had him at their mercy. But he, far from suffering their assault without resistance, grappled with them, and he overcame them. Amen. He stripped them, hallelujah, of their armor and drove them before him in his triumphant procession. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Those hostile powers of evil which Christians must encounter have already been vanquished. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! But it is only through faith union with the victorious Christ that Christians can make his triumph theirs. You remember the story of Samson? God gave him power. And as long as he obeyed God, he had power over the enemy. But you remember that the enemy came and got him to lay his head in her lap. And she cooed over him. And she comforted him. And it's hard to tell what else she did until he fell asleep and told her the source of his power. He played with the enemy. And when he woke woke up, his power was gone. They put his eyes out, and he was made a fool of before the people of the land. I'm telling you, play with temptation. Or you might say, well, it's only the Irish in me.
Amen, brother.
You better get the Irish under the blood. It's only the German in me. Bless God, nobody's going to tell me what to do. You better get that German under the blood. You said it.
Don't forget us mutts.
Who?
Us mutts. A mixture of all kinds.
Oh, mutts.
Mutts, yeah. Don't forget us.
They're the worst.
Yes, indeed.
Get the mutt under the blood. This is serious business we're talking about. And if you close your eyes in death, and he's the victor, you've lost the battle. We're in a warfare. The devil's out to get you. He's out to seduce you. He's out to take away from you your eyesight and your ability. But I want you to know that if you stay in Jesus, if you stay in Christ, if you stay under the blood, hallelujah, you are the victor. I don't care if you are facing a Sherman Whedon. Amen? I don't care how big the enemy seems. I don't care how loud he roars. I don't care how many of them come. Jesus has conquered them all.
Yes.
The only way you can come out victorious is to stay in Christ.
Yes.
Stand with me. Now that you understand who your enemy is,